That's Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee has done a lot to attract different water-related professionals and industries to the region to take advantage of the Great Lakes. Scientists, freshwater equipment companies, and even water law experts are all doing business here. But one area that has not been part of the equation has been the film industry, at least until now. Milwaukee and Lake Michigan will play key roles in a major motion picture that will begin filming here later this month. The Surface is written and produced by Milwaukee's Jeff Gendelman, a veteran of television and film work. It's directed by Gil Cates Jr., who's co-producer of the Steve Jobs movie due out nationally in August. Gendelman and Cates are in the studio with us to share the story. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
What attracted both of you to this story and this project? I mean, this is your story, so why don't we start with you, Jeff?
Yeah, thank you, Mitch. 18 years ago, I had the concept, back in the mid-90s. And for the next 5 years or so, we started to develop it in living in Los Angeles. Over the next 10 years after that, it got put into the back seat because of other projects coming up. And over the last 5 years, I've been developing it daily, actually nightly, from 9:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m., just about every night in the last 5 years. Over a year ago, a year and a half ago, a mutual friend of Gil and mine's in Los Angeles named Randy Arney, the artistic director of the Geffen Playhouse, he read the script and said, Jeff, you should talk to Gil. This would be perfect for him. And at that point, Mitch, I have been looking at many, many directors. And Gil read it, and he called me immediately.
Gil Cates Jr., why is this the perfect script for you?
Well, as Jeff said, Randy sent me the script, and you know, you get sent scripts or you develop scripts, and you're not really expecting every time you start turning the pages that you're going to be attracted. But when I finished it, I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. There was something about these characters of Mitch, this is one of the leads, Mitch and Kelly. There was something about the two of them and the journey they go on that I just found universal in its theme, and I hadn't seen anything or read anything quite like this. So really, it's just I couldn't not want to talk more about it. It kind of just sucked me in. I wasn't looking for, and I never do. Oh well, how much is the budget? Oh well, how much? It's just none of that stuff matters. It's just the story and telling a good story, and that's what this is—a good story.
Well, we should tell the story to some degree. This is a movie that exists on paper. It exists in your heads. Give us a thumbnail sketch of how the story plays out.
It's about two strangers, both at the end of their rope, who suddenly meet in the middle of the unpredictable waters of Lake Michigan. It's an adventure drama. It's about how even on the darkest days there's light, how tomorrow's a new day, how even when you are just got to let go in order to hang on.
The story first struck you. You said you've been working on this really for 18 years. Where did it come from? What inspired it?
I think what happened was I actually grew up in Milwaukee in the inner city for the first 5-6 years of my life. And then when my dad started doing a little bit better in business, we moved to the North Shore. This was in the early 60s. We moved right near Lake Michigan, a block away. I think I went down to the beach every single day, or at least the hill on top of the beach to overlook, to see this ocean, if you will, of a body of water. And at about that time, 5-6 years old, was the first time I saw Godzilla. And it got me thinking, as I would take my daily treks down to the lake to say hello to it, what's out there in the middle? What's going on out there? Because we cannot see across that 80 miles to the state of Michigan. So I think that was the seed for the premise, which was developed in the mid-90s, and the premise is the same. The script, of course, has gone through 85 different drafts over the years, but the premise has always stayed the same. What's out there?
And it had to be Lake Michigan.
It had to be Lake Michigan. In fact, through the years, different directors wanted to do it in New Jersey, in Florida, parts of Canada. But even though I wasn't living in Milwaukee, I was in Los Angeles and New York City for the bulk of the last 35 years. I wanted to make sure that it was a Milwaukee story. Even though it was universally themed, it will show Milwaukee and Lake Michigan and Southeast Wisconsin wonderfully throughout the world. It'll teach people about our area. It'll educate people about Lake Michigan, how it's really turned around, how the water is much better quality than it used to be, and how it really does change moment to moment. And it can be more dangerous than the Atlantic Ocean.
Gil Cates, Jr., you're, I imagine, not in this to necessarily educate people about Milwaukee and about Lake Michigan, but—
How do you know, Mitch?
I don't. I shouldn't
assume
things.
You don't know me, Mitch.
but how much do you have to wrap your head around what Lake Michigan means to this film?
Well, what I liked about— one of the things I liked about the script, I wouldn't want to shoot it anywhere else but here because, you know, I understand, I'm sure some of the people in the past, you know, Canada has tax credits and New Jersey closer to maybe some more talent for the film. But that's what makes this film, that's what gives it its personality is Lake Michigan. We went out last Wednesday and did a camera test with this water stabilization equipment and we start shooting the end of the month. It's important to make sure when, and I'll get back to answer your question, that when you're shooting on the water, just because the waves are going like this, even in the movie, if you want rocky waters, you have to be able to control the environment to create rocky waters. You can't just go out there and, you know, you have actors. And so we went out there and we tested the stabilization, which is amazing. It kind of like counterbalances with the water. So your frame kind of stays centered. And when I was out there, I just realized it has to be here. It has to be here. When you do in the film, when he departs and goes into the water, you don't want to see some big city behind. It's important. It's part of the movie.
Jeff Gendelman, we've learned why Milwaukee, why Lake Michigan. Were there people that inspired Mitch and Kelly?
Yeah, the events in the screenplay are based on true experiences. Of course, there's dramatic license to craft the screenplay. But yes, many of the events in the story did take place.
And I don't know how much you want to share about the story itself, but can you explain how these guys happen to be in the middle of Lake Michigan?
Sure, sure. Yeah,
you don't often run into people in the middle of the lake.
Correct. And that's part of the intrigue. The story is framed where we begin with Mitch and we know he's up to something and he's not in good shape mentally. He puts an intent forward. We're watching him do something. And he eventually winds his way down to McKinley Marina with this 20-foot fishing-slash-ski boat, about 30-years-old boat. And he launches it, and he throttles down. He's going out into the middle of the lake. We don't know what's going on. We're just following him. The first 8 to 9 minutes of the movie. And he is going underneath the boat, under the steering column, to grab something. And as he's bending over, he sees over the edge of the boat some debris from a crashed small-engine float plane where someone is draped over one of the pontoons. So he motors over and he realizes the man is seriously injured. He brings him on board. He's unconscious at that point. And he now realizes he has to save him. But in throttling to pick a direction to go back to shore, he's already 40 miles out in the middle of the lake. He runs out of gas immediately. So what happens then over the course of the next 85 minutes is that these two are at each other's throats at the beginning of the story because Kelly, the gentleman who crashed this plane, who's dying basically on camera, Mitch has to save him. Kelly realizes through dialogue and flashback that Mitch actually went out to the lake to commit suicide. Kelly has to stay alive to keep Mitch alive. Mitch has to stay alive to keep Kelly alive. And we're actually watching this character of Kelly, which we've never seen before in motion pictures, literally die on camera through the use of special effects makeup. We're bringing in this amazing gentleman named Dean Jones from Los Angeles, who's done many, many, many films. Watching this person die, who we become very involved with and start to care of both these characters. And in the end, Mitch, they become each other's guardian angels. The visual special effect that we in the audience and Mitch watching this guy that he's now trying to help. And in so doing, Mitch has his own renaissance.
Are they the only two actors, the only two characters in the film?
No, there's more. I mean, there's, you know, 7 to 10, you know, actors, some more prominent than other. But the majority of the film is the two of them on the lake. I mean, the opening of the movie, the closing of the movie, flashbacks, that doesn't take place on water. But probably 85%, maybe 90% does take place just on the water with these two.
Able to film all of this out on Lake Michigan?
We are. I'll let Jeff expand, but we are able to, you know, there's certain times we're going to have to shoot close to shore because of the water and the nature of it, and we'll have to, you know, there's ways to accomplish that. I've been watching a lot of films from Open Water to Dead Calm to Hitchcock's Lifeboat, Knife in the Water, and it's really interesting to see how these various movies accomplish, you know, once you establish where you are, I think there's some creative license to how you do it, but then there's times we're going to be 10, 20 miles deep because we have to be completely, you know, we're looking all around them and not seeing anything but the two of these guys in the water. So
I gather you have at least one of the stars on board. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Sean Astin is attached to play Mitch. Sean is a great actor. He's been working his whole life. I've actually known Sean since I was a kid. We interacted when I was young, and this is coincidentally because Jeff came to me, and this is the first person that we wanted to go to. Jeff said, we had a list of actors. Let's make an offer to Sean Astin first. And it's not often when you make a film, the first offer you make is the actor you get. And it just coincidentally, I knew Sean, and my dad directed his mother in a few films, I think three. And it's just great. I'm so happy he responded to the material. I couldn't be happier.
And you're still casting Kelly, is that right?
Correct. We have an offer out now, but you know, until these things close, but we expect to have our Kelly, within the next week. And then there's a couple other key speaking roles versus some of the featured extras that will be cast as well. But yeah, the movie will be as soon as we have our Kelly, we have our Mitch and our Kelly, and then kind of just casting around those two.
Well, and it all has to gear up pretty fast because, as you say, you're filming the end of this month.
We are in pre-production right now. So the assistant directors, the second assistant directors, everybody is in town now. And in the next few weeks, we'll continue with pre-production.
You know, there was a lot that was made a few years ago about the tax incentive program that existed to bolster the film industry in Wisconsin, and then the program ended. What do you see as the challenges to making a movie in a place that's, you know, it's not only not the center of the film industry, but it's not really on the ring road around the center of the film industry?
At the end of the day, for me, it's about passionate people making the film. So regardless, you know, if you're in LA, maybe you would have a few areas of the, you know, in the crew where you could look at a resume and see they have 20 films versus two. But if they're people that care about the project, those are the people that we want to be talking to. You know, we just met someone the other day who's going to be our production designer, art director, and she's done more commercials, more, you know, a lot of other things, but she loves the pro, you know, that kind of stuff really matters. So there's certainly challenges in finding crew, and you know, there's certain areas that Jeff touched upon, the special effects, where there are some people that have to be like the sound shooting on the water. You know, we have to make sure we're getting the best person possible. The special effect, because that is a character in the movie. Watching Kelly die is a character in the movie in itself. And then there's other people that maybe we're going to bring in from Chicago, or, you know, Jimmy, our DP, who's shot a lot in town. So it is a challenge to find, but we're finding it.
Well, Gil Cates Jr., Jeff Gendelman, thank you so much and best of luck with this.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Gil Cates Jr. is director, and Jeff Gendelman, the writer and producer of a film called The Surface, slated to begin production in Milwaukee later this month. It'll feature Sean Astin in a starring role and a co-star to be named soon. There is a link to more information, including how you can be involved in the process, from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and when we return, good nutrition takes center stage, literally. We'll tell you more on Lake Effect from WUWM.